where the sled could get along for a moment without guidance. He let go the G-pole and batted his right hand sharply upon the hard wood. He found it difficult to keep up the circulation in that hand. But while he pounded the one hand, he never ceased from rubbing his nose and cheeks with the other. "It's too cold to travel anyway," he said. He spoke aloud, after the manner of men who are much by themselves. "Only a fool would travel at such a temperature. If it isn't 80 below, it's because it's 79. He pulled out his watch, and after some fumbling, got it back into the breast pocket of his thick woolen jacket. Then he surveyed the heavens and ran his eye along the white skyline to the south. 12 o'clock, he mumbled. "A clear sky and no sun." He plodded on silently for 10 minutes, and then, as though there had been no lapse in his speech, he added, "And no ground covered, and it's too cold to travel." Suddenly, he yelled, "Whoa!" at the dogs and stopped. He seemed in a wild panic over his right hand, and proceeded to hammer it furiously against the G-pole. "You poor devils," he addressed the dogs, which had dropped down heavily on the ice to rest. His was a broken, jerky.